And so the words you're about to hear from the book of Luke are so familiar and yet are so powerful. And so, Cheryl, I invite you up to share with us these words, and may we open our hearts to hear God's voice.
Today's reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and on returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. That's how the New Revised Standard Version translates what happened when the women came from the empty tomb to tell the disciples what they had seen, or really what they hadn't seen, that it seemed like an idle tale. Idle tale seems so polite, so genteel, kind of like on Downton Abbey, Lady Mary at the dinner table might tell an idle tale. "Father, I heard an idle tale while I was in town this morrow." And then she would recount the idle tale, and people would titter politely, and even the servants standing around by the side might allow the ghost of a smile to creep across their features, because that's what you do with idle tales. That is not actually the way that idle tale translates in the original language. It's a very strong term, that original language. It's much closer to a bunch of bull or a load of rubbish. So the women come back with fabulous news of the resurrection, and they are met with, "Well, that's just a load of rubbish." Pilate asked Jesus what was truth, and Jesus was silent. The women come with truth, and they are met with, "Well, that's just a load of rubbish." And in reality, I understand these disciples a lot better than I want to let on. Yes, they are a cynical, skeptical people. For them to say anything less than, "That's a load of rubbish," would have made them vulnerable, vulnerable to hope. They had dared to hope. They had dared to believe, and they had been burned. They had watched Jesus crucified along with all of their hopes and all of their dreams. They had lost all hope, and they were determined not to be burned again. So when the women came and told them a tale of an empty tomb, all they could do was say, "Well, that's a load of rubbish," because everything felt like rubbish to them at that moment. I mean, I get that. We are taught that being vulnerable is bad, that we must be armed in every way possible, physically and emotionally. We're taught, and if it's not said aloud, it's simply because we learn it quickly, that it is far better to say rubbish than it is to listen and maybe hope that something better than you could ever imagine is what is really real. We are these days a people who have been burned so many times. The latest, greatest, best thing that promises to fix whatever ails us for only $9.99 plus shipping and handling turns out to be a dud every time. Our expectations of progress disappoint when we find ourselves going backwards. Our people that we trust disappoint us, and people that we don't trust fulfill those expectations. We anticipate happiness, but find pain. Health, but find sickness. Wholeness, but find brokenness. To live in this world means that each and every one of us will have our hopes dashed at some time or another. That's a load of rubbish. Because to say anything else would be to open ourselves to possibilities that are too big to imagine. Orson Welles said, if you want a happy ending, it depends on where you stop the story. So crucifixion was the happy ending for the Romans, for those who hoped that there was a military or political solution to every problem. And by the way, the day after Easter, the people that were in power were still Caesar, Pilate, and Herod. But resurrection is the happy ending for those who are willing to set aside their faith only in political or military might and who are willing to open themselves to the possibility of hope. On Easter Monday, it was those who knew that Christ had risen. They had been transformed, renewed, and given the gift of unanticipated hope. Orson Welles, if you want a happy ending, it depends on where you stop the story. Well, our story stops in the empty tomb, not at the cross. And more specifically, our story begins in the empty tomb, where we are taught that hope is the only thing that turns out to be really real. No, it is not a load of rubbish. It is something much, much better than that. In her most recent book, Anne Lamott tells the story of a village in Africa, way out in the desert in Senegal. The shallow wells were running dry, and if the wells ran dry, then hope would run dry. Without water, there would be no options, no hope. The women, though, had a vision of a lake of water underneath the desert sands. So they asked the men for permission to dig. The permission was grudgingly given, and so the women started digging. Day in and day out, they dug, using their hands or perhaps small shovels. The men watched dubiously in the distance as the women dug. But day after day, the women dug for over a year. And their hope began to be contagious to those who were watching, so that the men began to help out doing chores so that the women could dig. The men even started to watch the children, unheard of in that village in Senegal until that point. And so the men drummed in the background while the women dug and sang for over a year. Until, of course, they came to the lake of water underneath the sand, and finding water, they dug their wells, and there was water, and there was hope in that water. Oh, the women saw beyond rubbish. They saw beyond the dry sand of despair, and the men joined them on that quest for hope, and what they found was life-giving water, and that water brought them life and hope. So on Christmas Eve in this church, we dared to dream, to hope together, that we could bring hope to a church in Northeast Kansas City, a church made up of refugees from an African refugee camp who had been settled in Kansas City. The first thing they did when they got here was to create a worshiping community, Kuwumba, in the former Wesley Heights United Methodist Church building. And so that drew them into our United Methodist Church family. And so Christmas Eve, we hoped and we dreamed and we gave, and y'all were so generous. We received almost $20,000 to give to that congregation to help them get a bus to bring more people to worship with them. So the day that we presented that check, they did not greet us empty-handed. It's a little bit hard to see back here, but there's this beautiful worship set that they gave us. And this one in particular is designed to hold water. And so what I have done earlier, and I'll do it now too, is I filled it with water from our baptismal font. You see, this is used to help us remember our baptism, because water is powerful that way. Water brings us hope. And in the same way that Christmas Eve was the birth of Christ and the promises of Christmas Eve were fulfilled now in the Easter resurrection, so too our Christmas Eve gift now presents itself to us in the form of water. And so as you receive this water, we say the traditional words of remember your baptism and be thankful. But I also say in the water, find hope. And no matter what your life brings you, find joy and find peace. And in the tough times, be hopeful, be people of hope, because Christ is risen and the tomb is empty and the story is not over. And Christ continues to live here with us. And so hope lives here with us too. We are not alone. We have hope and water. So remember your baptism and find hope and find peace and find joy and all of the things that the cross offers us and the empty tomb offers us in this world. Because there are so many places where we can lose hope. There's so many times where we can think this is too much and there is no hope, but there is hope in water, in baptism. Remember your baptism, remember your hope, and be thankful and joyful and hopeful. You see, the cross is never the end of the story, and those things that would steal your hope are never the end of your story, but there is always hope because the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. The story ends and begins and hope. It is not rubbish, but it is reality. It is hope. Will you pray with me? Oh, Christ, thank you so much for this gift of resurrection. And thank you for this gift of hope, even in when times seem like hope is the last thing we should be doing. But give us renewed hope, oh, Christ. Help us to live in the new life which you have given us. Amen.